you need the Lord whether you know it or not.
Amen.
It helps you when you come to the place that you admit it. Amen. Thank you, Miss Montgomery. I appreciate that. Did y'all notice she's saying in Spanish there, right? So she's trying to say, you know, I can speak Spanish. I know. I remember, those of you who know my story, I grew up in, go to Revelation 20 while I'm telling the story. Revelation chapter 20. I grew up in a Spanish-speaking country. And I went there when I was 10 years old. And I tell you the story, it's a little bit, my parents went to, Spanish language school, there you go, language school, which the same place that they just went, which is amazing. Oh, let me think here, how many years ago was that? 38 years ago I was there. Yeah, 38 years ago I was there, and they just went there. When did y'all go? Just a few, yeah, they were just there. They just left there. Same place that my parents went a long time ago. But see, I didn't get to go to language school. Don't you want to say something like, "Oh"? I just had to go to the mission field as, like I've told you before, a short, fat, white boy who couldn't speak a lick of Spanish. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the love. But my parents got to go, but you know what? They don't teach the kids anything. I don't know. Have they changed that yet? No, they still don't teach the kids anything. In daycare. Well, I was already out of daycare. Maybe. Well, anyway, see, they just forget those poor little middle-aged kids anyway. I'm okay now. I don't have any permanent damage, I don't think. Some of you may disagree, but anyway, let me get into this here. Oh, before I do, Vacation Bible School, these little postcard flyers, are, if you know somebody that you would like to invite, children between the ages of 4 and 5th grade, 4 years old to the 5th grade, whatever age that is, 10 or 11, something like that, these have all the information already on there. If you'd like to take some, don't just take these in case you meet somebody, because we only have a limited supply. But if you know someone that you would like to on purpose invite, then go ahead and take as many as you need to give to each one of them for Vacation Bible School. It starts 2 weeks from tomorrow. Also, if you'd like to help out with our supplies, we are going to need decorations, different things for crafts and snacks. Snacks. Amen, Brother Chris? Snacks, right? And then games and things like that. So this is a list. I'm going to post one of these on the bulletin board in the hallway. But also, if you want to take one with you and try, if you want to help, please let us know. I just don't want to wait till the last minute, okay? It's only 2 weeks away. It already kind of is last minute. But if you can help out with some supplies, please take a list here and then let us know how you can help, okay? Anyway, Revelation chapter 20. Stand with me if you would, please, one last time. I'm going to read here beginning in verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 1. It is good to have some visitors with us as well. Miss Velma is here this morning. She's Alan's mother. You remember Alan from last Sunday night. And I'm glad to see her with, and of course, Miss Laconia, her sister. And what a blessing it is to have those folks with us this morning. And all of the rest of you, of course, as well. But let me begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 20. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. Amen. I look forward to the day the devil's shut up. Amen. Aren't you?
Hallelujah.
And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now notice that last phrase of that verse 4. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There it is again. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He does not get out. He is loosed. He is let out. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'll leave off reading there this morning. I want you to look with me back again in verse 2. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent. That old serpent. Let's pray. Father, I want to do this passage of Scripture justice this morning. Lord, it has ministered to my heart for days now. And I pray, God, that you would help me get it across to these, your people. Thank you, God, for this book, for the power that it has. And Lord, I pray that you would use it this morning for your honor and your glory. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Fill this place, God, with liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. Here in our scripture, we've got several names in verse 2 that are referring to Satan. The Bible calls him in verse 2 the dragon. Dragons, every time I see a dragon, I don't think of things that you may think of, movies or games or. I remember something like Dungeons and Dragons and something like movie. There's all kinds of movies about dragons and knights and swords. And but listen, the dragon really in the Bible is Satan. Yeah. Satan. He's a dragon, but notice he's also that old serpent. The old serpent. Why does he say the old serpent? Well, I think it's because, remember in Sunday school, but if you know all the way back at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, the same serpent. Well, now he's the old serpent because he's been around for a long time. But the Bible calls him the devil, capital D. This is not a fictitious character. This is not some type of a storybook, a fiction character. This is Satan. Satan himself. Then the text not only gives us names of Satan, but also begins to describe the devil, Satan, with one key word that I want to focus on this morning that will pretty much sum up the message. And it's used in the verses that I read three different times. I don't know if you picked it up or not, but it's the word deceive. Verse 3 says, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Verse 8. It shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. The devil has one primary job that he is very good at, and that's deception. Deception. To deceive, really, you could boil it down to one word, and that is to lie. But listen, on purpose. You know, to tell a lie, it could be possibly accidental if I didn't know the whole truth. But if I'm deceiving someone, pay attention now, I'm doing it on purpose. It's no accident. To deceive means to trick, to con. You know what a con man is, don't you? To betray. Have you ever heard anybody say, talk about stabbing someone in the back? Betraying them? Being one way to their face, and as soon as they turn around, stabbing in the back. That's betrayal. That's deceiving someone. It's lying. It's, can I tell you this? It's misleading. Leading someone in the wrong direction. Listen now, on purpose. It's knowingly leading someone down a wrong path, down a destructive path on purpose. Listen, to deceive someone is to make someone believe that the truth is a lie and a lie is the truth. In the Garden of Eden, and we'll get there in a minute, that's how it all began. Satan deceived the woman. He is a deceiver. Listen now. And the reason the Bible calls him that old serpent is because he's been doing it for a long time. Right. For a long time. He's been doing it for a long time. From cover to cover of the Bible. Yeah. From cover to cover of God's Word. John chapter 8 verse 44 says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him.
Right,
when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. What is his own what? His own nature. That's all he knows. That's all he is. He is a liar, the Bible says, and the father of it. The father of lies. He is filled with lies because he's the father of lies. I'm talking about that old serpent. Satan. The devil. The Bible tells us there is no truth in him. None. Zero. Anything that he tells you is a lie. Anything that he tries to make you believe is a lie. Any path that he tries to lead you down is the wrong path. It's a lie. There is no truth in him at all. Zero. And he's been like that for a long time. He's the old serpent. Can I tell you something? Listen, this morning, this may, you should know this by now, but God hates lies. God hates lies. The Bible says that they are abomination unto God. A liar. There are countless millions of people who don't think they're so bad, but yet, you know how I always get them to admit and understand that they've sinned? I ask them, have you ever told a lie? Well, of course. Well, then what does that make you? A liar. That's not so bad. That's not so bad. That's all the devil is. Not so bad, huh? Not so bad, huh? God hates lies. Listen to me. Lies kill people.
Yeah, they do.
Lies kill people. Lies destroy families. Oh, boy. Lies divide marriages. Lies divide churches. Split them wide open. Lies devour, listen, Christians, saved people. Lies devour Christians. God hates lies because God loves you. I said, God hates lies, because somebody ought to say amen right there. Because God loves you. So He hates lies. He hates everything about lie, because He knows whenever there's a lie, whenever there's a hint of a lie, Satan is right there. Right there. You know, the devil lies to people about very, very, very important things, such as sin. You know, some people, when I talk to them, they actually do not, will not admit that they've sinned. They are deceived.
Yes, they are.
That's right.
The Bible tells us that all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. But the devil says, you're okay. He lies to people about salvation. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him.
Right.
But the devil says, you know, you could probably just go ahead and get baptized as a baby and you'll be okay. Where'd that come from? The father of lies. The devil says, you know, you can even get baptized as an adult and you'll be saved. Where'd that come from? Didn't come from here. It came from the father of lies. The devil says, you know, you can earn your way to heaven. You can do more good things than bad things. And if your good outweighs your bad, God will let you in. That is a lie. Where'd it come from? The father of lies. The devil says, you know, all you got to do is just go to church once in a while. Be a good person. God says there is none that are good. There's none good. Where did it come from? It comes from Satan. He lies to people about sin. He lies to people about salvation. He lies to people about Scripture. Listen now. He lies to people about Scripture. You know, one Bible is just as good as any other Bible. That's a lie. That is a lie. It all of a sudden got tense in here. You cannot have 200 different versions of God's Word without there being confusion and multiple errors. We have, how many gods are there? 200, preacher? No, you never say that. So we only have one God. We only have one inspired, inerrant, and preserved Word of God in the English language. One. It's the King James Bible. But the devil lies about it and says, you know, just read the one that's easier to read. That's a lie. There's a King James Bible given to us by God, inspired, and preserved for all eternity.
Amen.
But he says, you don't even need to read that Bible. I mean, all you got to do is just dream up a God that you like and worship that one. The God of your imagination. No, there's one God in heaven, and the only way you're ever going to know Him is through His Word.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
But the lies come from Satan about Scripture. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now listen, if I don't have an every word Bible, then I'm not going to live the life that God has for me.
Right.
So if those Bibles change one word, then I don't have every word. Amen.
Amen.
If those Bibles change, and by the way, they don't change one word. They take words out, they add words, they twist words, they change things, they turn it upside down. Listen, because they're of the devil.
Yeah.
Now, hey, by the way, that's where we stand. That's where we're going to stay standing.
Amen.
In this church.
Amen.
We have one Word of God. Scripture. But Job said, I count the Word of God more necessary than my necessary food. In other words, I can physically survive, but spiritually I will die without the Word of God. Satan says it's no big deal. It's a lie. Satan lies about separation too. You know, once you're saved, just go back to your old life. Just live like the devil. You're saved. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You can choose. God gave you a free will. And you can choose to live the life you want to live. And if you're saved, if you're truly born again, you'll be saved. The Bible teaches everlasting life that lasts forever.
Amen.
There is no second or third or fourth or fifth salvation. There's not even, I heard Miss Dorothy laughing, talking about the second blessing already this morning, but I know she's kidding. There's not even a second blessing. You get saved, you get the Holy Spirit, you get sealed, and you're saved forever.
Amen.
Jesus is not going to go back to the cross every time you lose your salvation. And once you're born again, you're born again. By the way, how can you be born again, again, and again, and again? I mean, it just takes a little bit of common sense even. The Bible, the King James Bible, is written on a sixth grade level. You must be born again. He doesn't say, and then again, next time you sin. And then again, next. No, you must be born again, period.
Amen. Right.
But the devil says, after that, however, don't worry about how you live. Just go out and live like you want to live. Do what you want to do. Because after all, you're saved. And by the way, that's why so many people don't believe in eternal security. Because so many of God's people live like the devil after they get saved. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. God even says, be ye holy.
Amen.
Now, that's not talking about salvation. I'm sanctified, I'm redeemed, I'm justified the minute I put my faith in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
But he says, now be holy. Now live clean. Now cleanse yourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit.
Yeah.
See, but Satan says, don't worry about that. Say, by the way, he's a liar. He's a liar. Satan lies about soul winning. You know, there are some Christians who believe that people who will get saved will automatically get saved. And we don't have to do anything about it. No, but the Bible says, ye shall be witnesses unto me.
Amen.
The Bible says, go ye. I mean, it's two-letter words, but yet the smartest Christians in the world seem to trip over those two-letter words. Go ye. That means you've got to go. I don't have to preach on a whole lot on that because it's two-letter words. That means you've actually got to get up and go.
Yeah.
Satan's lied to some of you too because you ain't getting real excited about this. But I'm telling you, the truth is we're supposed to go and be witnesses in all the world.
Amen.
That includes our town. Genesis chapter 3. Don't turn over there. I'm already out of time. Goodness gracious, what happened? Did I start late or something? Anyway, Satan showed up, and not only did he say to Eve, yea, God said, he tried to deceive Eve into thinking that what God said wasn't true, and then he flat out denied. He said, ye shall not surely die. Not only did he try to make her doubt the word of God, he flat out denied that it was true. He said, you will not die. God said you will, Satan said you won't. So you tell me. Was he lying or was he deceiving or was he telling? He's the father of lies. And the Bible calls him the deceiver, the deceiver, the deceiver. And it's all that he's ever done. But I want to show you here in our text quickly this morning, as quickly as I can, three very specific ways that the devil lies and has been lying to people for a long time. Number one, he deceives people into believing, now pay attention, that their life will improve if they quit following Jesus and follow him. Now you sit here this morning and you say, any idiot knows that my life is not going to improve if I quit following Jesus and follow the devil.
Right.
But then, why do so many people do it? Look in the text. Look in verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I don't have time to go into the theology here. I'm going to give it as much as I can. On The second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, wait a minute. Stop right there. For 1,000 years, Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, in chains, sealed, shut up. He can't tempt anyone. He's gone. He's as good as dead. He's bound for 1,000 years. And then God's people, those who were resurrected in the first resurrection at the rapture, are now serving God, serving Jesus, ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. I mean, paradise.
Yeah.
No more Satan, no more sin. Paradise. 1,000, not 1,000 days, 1,000 years. I mean, they get to talk to Jesus. Jesus is making all the rules. Jesus, God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything is exactly like it should be and like it was supposed to be. And boy, it's wonderful. But for 1,000 years, people are following Jesus. Satan is then loosed for a season. Now, I can't explain this to you. But he deceives those very same people. I don't know how many, but the Bible says the sands of the sea in number. And they turn from following Jesus after seeing 1,000 years of bliss, and they follow Satan. He deceives people into believing that if they quit following Jesus and follow him instead, that their life will get better. Now, I want you to stop and think about it for a minute. And be honest with yourself. Because you know as well as I do, that he's even got you thinking that way before. Come on, you don't have to tell me, but I know you because you're a sinner just like me. And the devil has even got you to think that way at least at some point in your life. Quit following Jesus. Follow me. You'll have more fun. You'll be more exciting. Life will be more enjoyable. You'll have more pleasure. You'll have more excitement, entertainment. Everything will be better. And listen to me. He has worked on you more than once.
Oh, yeah.
But I still can't quite grasp how he's going to get these people. But you and I don't have 1,000 years of paradise with Jesus to look back on. We don't have that. We're born into a wicked world. We're born sinners by nature. We sin every day of our lives practically. And by the way, you don't have to sin every day of your life. You can go one day. That'd be great. But the fact is, they have 1,000 years to look back on, and they're still deceived. So don't tell me he ain't worked on you. Don't tell me he hadn't worked on you. Give up that Jesus. Give up following Christ. Come follow me. Say, preacher, how in the world could he do that? I'll tell you one simple thought. This is my thought. I think this is probably accurate, though. He tells them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Mark it down, neighbor, friend, brethren. He's going to tell you what you want to hear. But remember, it's a lie.
That's right, man.
It's a lie. But he is always and will, even to the very last second of his earthly life, deceive people into believing that they should follow him instead of Jesus because their life will get better. How in the world? It's hard for me to understand. But he's going to do it. It's right here in the scripture. He knows how to tell you what you want to hear. He knows that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He's telling you that you should just go ahead and do what you want to do. Your life will get better. You won't have to go to that church. You won't have to hear that preaching. You won't have to face that conviction. You don't have to have any rules. By the way, you don't have to do anything. I said you don't have to do anything. God has given you a free will on purpose. Don't look at Christianity as a have-tos. It's not a book full of have-tos. It's a book full of protection and safety and guidelines for your own well-being. If you start looking at the law of God as I have to, Satan's already working on you. You have a free will, friend. You have a free will, brother, sister. You can choose what you want to choose. You can choose the path of your choice. But listen to me. You got to understand, every path leads somewhere.
That's right.
And Satan's always working to mislead you. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Well, Satan's working on directing your paths too. The Bible says in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So if your path is not leading to righteousness and more righteousness, you're being deceived. And He's going to tell you what you want to hear. I've got to hurry. By the way, He knows where you're weak. He knows where you're weak. And that's how He gets you. Wherever your weakness is, He's going to say, oh man, you like to do that, don't you? You like those, don't you? Oh boy. Somebody turn that clock back a few minutes. He knows where you're weak. He watches you. He's not omnipresent like God is, but there's a whole bunch of fallen angels that are His little minions. And they're watching you. And they're reporting back to the Father of lies. And they're telling exactly what you like, exactly where you, what you do when nobody else is looking.
Yeah.
And so He begins to tell you what you want to hear, to try to get you to follow Him. And listen, He's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
He also deceives people into believing that they can actually fight God and win. Quickly, look in verse 9. Well, verse 8 says, they shall go out to deceive the nations. Again, that's all He ever does. Which are in the four quarters of the earth. And by the way, all nations in this world are being deceived by Satan. There's not one exception. All the nations. Gog and Magog to gather them together to battle. Wait a minute. Satan is gathering together to battle against who? Look in the next verse, verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Stop right there. That's Jerusalem. Listen. That's where Jesus has been ruling and reigning for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
From the throne of David in Jerusalem. And now Satan has an army the size of the sands of the sea following him up that hill. To do what? To overtake Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you getting the picture here? They, listen. They actually think they're going to win.
Yeah.
Or else they wouldn't be doing it. They actually think they can fight God and win.
Yeah.
Some of you do too. Satan will make you think that you can fight God. You can go against the Bible. You can fight the man of God. You can fight the will of God. You can resist the power of the Holy Spirit. You can reject that conviction. I will fight. I will fight. And you actually think you can win. They will follow him up that hill. Don't get the picture. Don't miss this. They were following Satan, the father of lies, after following Christ for 1,000 years. Now they're following Satan against Christ.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No. It's going to happen. Whew. I don't get it. I can't figure it out. But it's going to happen. And the only thing I can deduce from this is that they're being told what they want to hear, and they're so deceived that they actually think they're going to win. What's the end of that verse say? You see the end of the verse? Verse 9? And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. He's going to get these people to march with him against the very city of God. He'll make them believe that he is able to defeat God. Listen, don't miss what I just said. He makes you believe that you can actually fight God and win. You can actually get one, pull one over on God. Maybe they thought they could outnumber God. I mean, there's a lot of them. Outnumber God? Maybe they thought they could outmaneuver God. Maybe they thought they could sneak up on him.
Yeah.
That's foolishness, preacher. Well, then why do you think that sometimes when this deceiver starts deceiving you? Don't get so high and mighty, because you know he's done the same thing to you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down to that. I'm not going to do what God says. I'm not. I can't. I just won't. Okay, go ahead. Fight God. And you actually think you're going to win? You do if you follow Satan. But you've got to remember something. He is nothing but a deceiver. I'm just not. No way. I'm going to live my life my way. And God will bless me anyway. You're not thinking straight. You're deceived.
Yeah.
Well, I would never literally fight God. Be careful. I would never follow Satan up the hill to march against Christ. Every time you willfully disobey his word, that's what you're doing. Do I need to say that again? Every time you willfully disobey his word, you're standing up against God. You're saying, I know better than you, God. I'm going to do it my way, God. I'm going to show you, God. I'll get away with it, God. You're not going to tell me what to do. Whew. There's a whole lot of people living like that. And you actually think you're going to win. I can't figure it out. I can't explain this to you. Maybe they thought they could outlast God. There's so many of us, we'll just keep fighting and fighting and fighting, and surely he'll just give up. Folks, listen to me. I'm out of time and I'm done. The last thing I want you to notice is he's actually able to deceive people into believing that there is no hell. Look in verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Jump down to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, listen to me. I can't explain it all to you. But Satan knows there's a hell, because he just got out of it for 1,000 years. He was in there. And he had to smell like smoke. I'll leave that one alone. He had to smell like the smoke of the fires of hell. Not Marlboro. But he did know there was a literal hell. And he was so skillful at deceiving these people, he knew he was going to end up back in the lake of fire forever. But he was so skillful at deceiving these people that he made them think, well, don't worry about it. There's no literal hell. God's not going to do anything to you. You're okay. I know I'm going to go to hell. He knew it all. But what he didn't tell people was the end of the chapter. See, how do you get to that? How do you arrive at that conclusion, preacher? Because he knew there was a hell. He was there. And anybody who truly believes in hell and in the Bible is not going to follow Satan. So when people laugh and joke about hell, they're being deeply, tormentedly deceived by Satan. These people would never have followed Satan against God. Listen, if they really believed that there was a lake of fire. Do you see what I'm saying? The Bible tells us that it's everlasting punishment. It's eternal torment. It's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's not a fairy tale. It's everlasting fire that's never quenched, where the worm dieth not. The fire never goes out. And the only way to escape it is to be born again God's way. But Satan says, let's do it our way. I close with this question, thought-provoking question, and then I'll give you the answer. How could these people have allowed themselves to be so deceived? And here's what I want you to understand. They did not know their Bible. Or else they just didn't believe it. Because look, it's right here. It's right here. So when Satan comes to me after those 1,000 years and says, hey, let's go take the throne, I already know what's going to happen.
Amen. That's right.
Absolutely. When he comes to you and says, hey, let's go take the throne, we can do it. Follow me. Don't follow Christ.
Amen.
We can outlast God. We can outnumber God. We can outmaneuver God. Well, listen, are you going to know the truth? Because if you're not listening this morning, you're not even going to know what I'm talking about. And when he comes to you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to say, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Oh, you mean Jesus is not really the Savior? You are? Oh, yeah. But you know why? Because you don't know the Bible. Or you're just not listening to the Bible, or you won't believe the Bible. But you know what's simple to me? It's already said. It's right here. So when he comes to me, brother, he says, let's go. Let's go take Jerusalem. I'm going to say, you know, I've read that story already. I know how it ends. No, you go by yourself.
There you go.
But yet, you know what he's doing today, folks? He's still deceiving millions of people to leave Christ, follow him, to fight God, think they're going to win. And after all, why are so many people refusing Jesus altogether? Because they don't believe there's a literal hell.
Yeah.
Why? Because he is the old serpent. He's a master. If you don't get in your Bible, listen, if you don't get in your Bible and stay in your Bible and know what it says, you're next. You're next. This tells me the truth. If I don't know what this says, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be deceived. Don't ever forget where Satan ends up, church. Don't forget where he ends up. Father, I pray you bless your word this morning. Lord, I really don't know, Lord, if I got the message across, but Lord, Satan is deceiving your people every second, every second.